Oh, there's a lot of you, isn't there? Well, thank you all for coming today, and I want to start by saying that I consider it a real privilege, and always will, to have been elected as leader of the Parliamentary Labor Party in Tasmania, and therefore as Premier of Tasmania. I'm honoured by it. It's a job that I will never, ever take for granted, and it's a job, and I've made that clear to my PLP colleagues, and I want to make it clear to the people of Tasmania. So today I've been elected as leader, and I'm also very pleased to inform you that Lara Giddings has been elected as deputy leader and therefore has been sworn in as Deputy Premier of Tasmania. Graham Sturgis, the current Cabinet Secretary, has been sworn in as Minister for Infrastructure, and Lisa Singh will become my Parliamentary Secretary. All other ministerial responsibilities will remain as is, so there'll be no other reshuffle coming out of this, these changes. I do genuinely believe that the things that unite us as Tasmanians are far, far, far in excess of the things that divide us, and that what you'll see from Lara and myself as Premier and Deputy Premier will always be, where at all possible, focused on those things. And with that, I'm happy to take questions.
Just in relation to those things that unite us or rather don't unite us, it would be a great deal of interest about what the new team thinks of Hopkins. Can you give us an idea of what you're thinking on further public governance, particularly the pipelines that are yet to be built for the public?
Well, I think the future of the pulp mill project is now very much in the hands of the proponents and their financiers. They are the people that will determine whether or not this project gets up from here on in.
But in terms of public subsidies for the pipeline?
Well, as I said, I think the future of that project is very much in the hands of the pulp mill proponents, the company, and their financiers, and they will be determining whether the pulp mill goes ahead or not. I haven't seen a proposal for public infrastructure of which you talk come to Cabinet. If the Minister responsible, who is currently Paula Reid, wants to bring a paper like that to Cabinet in the future, then Cabinet will consider it on its merits. But largely, or in fact totally, I believe this project will stand and fall on whether or not the company is able to get its finances to build the project.
How confident do you feel going into this role within your relatively short time in Parliament?
Well, look, the question of experience, of course, is going to be one that comes up. There's no doubt about it. But this question, I think, will be best answered in March 2010, when I will be very happy to put my experience on the table as a senior manager in both corporate and government, as senior private secretary to the most catalytic treasurer probably in Tasmanian history, as a minister of the Crown, and at that time having 2 years of experience as premier under my belt. I'm happy to put that up as experience against the alternative premier, Will Hodgman.
Your role has been meteoric by any standard in Australian political history. Can you believe it's happened, and is your head spinning a bit?
I've had a couple of surreal moments today, there's no doubt about it, but my feet are firmly planted on the ground. My wife, Larissa, I'm surrounded by Larissas now, always, and my family keep my feet firmly planted on the ground. When I go home tonight, if I get home tonight, after what I know will be a lot of work to do tonight, the talk around our dinner table will be of the new puppy, not of that Dad's become Premier of Tasmania.
Can you tell us then what's your platform going to be?
I can. I believe Tasmania can become a place that is both clever and kind. And by clever I mean I want to see us invest as a centrepiece in education, have the best education system in the world that lifts our educational outcomes from the lowest in the country to the highest in the country over the next decade. I want to see us invest in innovation, both in our traditional industries, which will provide significant growth for us going forward economically, but also in new industries. And by kind, I mean I want to make sure that we are building opportunities for the least advantaged in our community, that we are looking after the children and the elderly, and that we ensure that every Tasmanian shares in building of social capital through the economic growth that we've experienced and will continue to experience over the coming decade.
Do you accept that you've got some work to do to restore the public trust in your government, and how are you going to do that?
I accept that recent events in the Tasmanian political scene have led to a degradation of trust in democracy, and I believe anything we can do going forward to reconnect with the Tasmanian people and to continue to build their trust in their democracy will be absolutely vital and a key part of what Lara and I want to achieve over the coming months. Well, I'm on the public record, as you know, Matt, as saying that I'm interested in what an ethics commission might look like and how it might be, envisaged but also implemented within Tasmania. And I have done some work and thinking about that, and I'll be making further announcements about that. But I'm not going to get into detail of that today. I think it's an important thing that we consider and one that needs to be considered sensibly, in an informed way, out of the heat, if you like, of the debates or the scandals that have been happening.
Are you planning to replace any bureaucrats in your department? I think it's like Chief Staff Evan Rowley.
Evan Rowley's actually Secretary of the Department of Premier and Cabinet. I have always been of the view in any organisation that I've led or been part of, I want to surround myself with the best and the brightest people because that's how I believe Tasmania needs to go forward. The coming decade in Tasmania, what's most important is new ideas, a new approach, a new energy. And so when I look across all of the parts of the public sector, which I believe serve Tasmania very well, I'll be looking for those things, new ideas, new approaches and new energy.
So people like your Daniel Leesong and the Secretary, will they be replaced?
Well, again, I've been in the job for 5 minutes. I think it's incumbent upon me to work with people and work out where that new energy and that new advice and those new approaches can come from, and I certainly wouldn't rule that out of coming from the people who are already in existing jobs right across the public sector and ministerial offices.
How are you,
Premier?
Premier, are there any new things that we're going to see?
Yes, I think what you're going to see is a new government in government. The Tasmanian people have enjoyed what I believe has been a significant renaissance in Tasmania over the last 10 years, but it is a foundation that can be built on by a new government. And this will be a new government. This is a new generation with new energy and new ideas, and you are going to see things done differently.
But sir, what new things specifically will we see, and will there be anything off the agenda?
Well, I'm not going to get into outlining my personal manifesto now, but I have told you around clever and kind and connected. I want Tasmania connected to the globe. I want us connected both in terms of our communities locally, building of social capital. I want us connected via technology, and I want our politicians and our democracy connected to its people. And I'll be outlining over the coming months, believe me, you'll be in no doubt over the next 6 months, and then in the coming 2 years leading up to 2010, what it is that both Lara and I stand for and what this government stands for.
Your leadership ambitions have been fairly open until now, and right up until now, I should say.
Pretty obvious now.
Right. But I just wonder whether you feel you have any blood on your hands in terms of the...
Absolutely not.
And could you explain why not? I mean, you have made public statements that yes and no, I would like leadership at some point, to explain the context around that. But that obviously applies pressure to the man as well.
Well, I don't think so at all. I mean, I think... Paul Lennon will be, when the shrill tone of the daily column inches, if you like, subsides, Paul Lennon, along with Jim Bacon and David Crean, will be recognised for their place and for his place as the architects of a great renaissance in Tasmania over the last 10 years. And I am of the firm belief that while Jim and David brought significant skills and different attributes to that renaissance, Paul was should be recognised as an absolute key contributor to those things.
You haven't mentioned the environment. Do you see your government taking a different approach to the Lennon government on the environmental issue?
Well, I would, under the form of clever, I think we stand on a number of global threats, one being demographic change and one, of course, being significantly climate change. And I want to see Tasmania as climate change opportunists. That's what I believe we should be. Climate change is a threat, but for every threat, there are great opportunities. And Tasmania, through our excellence in renewable energies, through our position in the Southern Ocean, stands at a crossroads where we can genuinely be climate change opportunists in a whole range of areas.
Premier,
so, yes.
Premier, do you think it's time to stop logging old growth forests?
Well, I'm not going to, again, stand here today and start willy-nilly changing policy on the fly. What I am going to do is take a deeply considered approach based on data, information and knowledge to all the policy settings that we take, and therefore I'm not going to sit here and give you a knee-jerk reaction to that.
That won't reassure the forestry industry with respect to
me. Well, the forestry industry should be very reassured by my premiership, because I believe we need to innovate in our traditional industries to ensure that we value add here and we therefore add jobs and growth and wealth here. That the resource we have in the ground, or in this case on top of the ground, growing in the ground, is something that we need to extract maximum value for Tasmanians and therefore create the maximum number of jobs from.
So, you know, would you challenge Mr. Lennon to
deal with
that? No. Were you surprised it happened before you?
Yes.
So, do you know when you move into your new office?
Well, I was sworn in at 3 o'clock by the governor this afternoon. Well. I wouldn't be surprised if some of my staffers are already moving boxes in, but I don't know off the top of my head. That hasn't been highest on my agenda. What's been highest on my agenda is, of course, ensuring that a united Labor team goes into Parliament tomorrow, and there will commence the story which is most important to Tasmanians leading up to March 2010, and that will be the stark choices they have between me ongoing as Premier and the team that I'll lead, and my opponent in the Liberal opposition as Premier. And that is the story that I think will be most important to Tasmanians going forward and leading up to the March 2010 election.
Premier, you don't have 6 4-year terms yet. Are you saying it will be a March 2010 election?
That is a commitment made, a decision made in the Cabinet under the leadership of Paul Lennon, and I will be sticking with that commitment.
Premier, you've had a couple of...
Are you ruling out another Cabinet reshuffle before the election?
Well, look, we've just gone through, I'm not sure, 3 Cabinet reshuffles in 3 months. I'm not going to get into talking about the next Cabinet reshuffle or whether there will be one. What's important at the moment, and I want to make this point, the reason why I have decided to keep the education portfolio and why I was very keen, and I know Lara will speak for herself, was also very keen to keep the health portfolio, is that we believe that these are the things that are fundamental to making Tasmania a place that is both clever and kind, and we believe that the reforms we've commenced will have a significant impact on taking us towards those things. It is the first time in 50 years since Robert Cosgrove that a Premier has held the education portfolio, and what you should read into that is that I believe education not only is going to be the great driver of social opportunity and social cohesion, but also it's going to be our great economic driver going forward for the coming decades.
Premier, do you think it's time for a Premier to distance himself more from big business in this state?
Well, I think that all business, big, small, medium-sized, are very important in this state. We need to foster innovation. We need to foster investment in technology so that we keep up with the sorts of cost effects that are happening right, you know, through petrol and a whole range of things. I think it's right that a Premier and a government engage with businesses big and small to ensure that we have growth in the economy. The most important thing we can do is provide an environment where we invest in infrastructure such that wealth can be created, so that jobs can be created, so that people can put food on the table and a roof over their heads. That's the most important thing to me. And if it means that I need to engage with business big and small, I will do that and make no apology for
it. So your door would be open to guns the same way it was for Mr. Leonard?
Well, I mean, you, in your question you make an inference about whether Paul Lennon's door was open or ajar or what have you. I don't accept your inference necessarily. The fact of the matter is, I've never met John Gay, but I suspect in the coming months I probably will.
The contest between you and your opposition leader will be particularly interesting because you're both relatively young. And I guess more generally there's a move to younger leaders. Can you characterise what that's going to be like in terms of youth?
Well, I can tell you I turned 40 in January, and I can tell you that the political debate in Tasmania, where I can help it, will be characterised by decency, by mutual respect, and by a sense that I don't have all the good ideas, that good ideas come from all sorts of places. I believe politics is at its best when it is a battle of ideas, and the people with the best ideas who can articulate those ideas and then implement those ideas win. That's when politics is at its best. And I believe that in Tasmania we don't have to hate each other simply because we disagree on ideas.
Is there something young leaders bring to the political discussion that older leaders don't?
Well, I think you could go to a sociological perspective here and say Generation X, of which Lara and I are both the first leaders of this state from that were born in Generation X, if you like. And you could attribute certain factors and foibles, even, thanks for your help, Mr. Denham, to that generation. But of course, Lara and I bring our own personal qualities. And they're personal qualities that I see in Lara that made me very keen to have her as my deputy and therefore nominate her, and pleased to see unanimous support for her in the parliamentary party, because I think, like me, she brings a view about politics that we don't have to hate just to have a great battle of ideas.
Just on that, you've also spoken about the need to address divisions in Tasmania, which there are many. Just going back to what you said about older rights lobbying, I mean, can you clarify whether or not you are saying you will consider...
What I can clarify is I'm not making policy on the fly here. I'm going to make policy, and my cabinet's going to make policy based on the best information, the best data and the best knowledge available to us.
There have been calls to strengthen the Freedom of Information Act. Do you support
A bit like my comments on an ethics commission, I'm open to debate and sensible discussion about anything that we can do that strengthens Tasmanians' trust in their democracy, because I think if you strengthen trust in a democracy, you strengthen participation in a democracy, and that can only be good for that democracy. And as a democratist, that's what I want to see happen.
In your maiden speech, you cited...
Inaugural speech, we call that these days.
Okay. you cited Michael Field's advice that to effect positive change, all you need to do is to take small acts of personal courage. What are the acts of personal courage you'd like...
Well, I'm standing up here in front of you. look, I'm glad you've quoted that back, because I think it's an excellent quote. You know, to effect change takes time, it takes great energy, it takes an enormous amount, really, and but mostly what it takes is small acts of, a series of small acts of personal courage. And to ensure that we are going to take Tasmania in the right direction, some would say a new direction, with new energy, those small acts of personal courage are the sorts of things I see daily from Lara in her very important health reforms, and I want to see daily from all our ministerial colleagues.
When did you speak to Pauline prior to last night?
The last time I spoke to him?
Yeah.
Well, he was out of the country. I was acting Premier, so the last time I spoke to him, I think when we did the handover from Premier to acting Premier.
No, not at all during the interview.
When did you learn of his resignation?
Well, I was informed that Paul had made that decision late last night. That's it.
Premier, you said that there'd been a couple of surreal moments today for you. Could you share them?
Well, the first one was when I took my 4.5-year-old to kindy this morning, and when I get the opportunity to take him, I always like to spend 10 minutes in the classroom, seeing what's not checking up on the teachers, just seeing what's going on and being engaged with his education if I can. And that was a sort of surreal moment as parents filed in to the class and took a double take and said, "What are you doing here?" To which I answered, "I'm hiding." look, the surreal moments, of course, are when you are a proud Tasmanian, one who is deeply passionate about the place he lives, and I know she lives, that you have an opportunity, in reasonably rapid form, to have really what is the greatest sphere of influence that I can aspire to over the things that I can change about the place, and therefore, hopefully, over time, affect Tasmanians' lives positively.
Kevin Rose, known 24/7, with Connect Tech, can you also think on this stuff?
You might want to turn to the right and ask my wife that question. no one should underestimate the capacity that I have for work and to bring energy to that. I think those around me would say that. I have a family, I have a young family, and I know Tasmanians will forgive me when those moments arise that my family must take precedence over this job.
Your New South Wales counterpart has been very firm about striking a work-life balance and spending time with his family away from work. Do you follow that lead? Is that something you'll be replicating?
One of the things that Larissa and I discussed when I was first elected and then first became minister was probably the key moment, was a sort of AWA of our own. A set of principles that we try to live by, about how many weekends I'm working in a row, about how many nights I'm out a week, about how many times we get a babysitter a week, and all those things are things we aspire to. Where possible, if I've got an evening function, I'll try and knock off at 5:30 and go home and read to the kids and do the bath and bed thing before I go back out again. And those are the things you have to do if you want the best of both worlds, and I do. I want to see my children grow up, and I want to be Premier of Tasmania.
Assuming government does get finance for the pipeline project, do you support the compulsory acquisition of private land to facilitate the pipeline?
Well, again, that is tied up in legislation that I would need further briefing on, because my understanding is that there are various levels of compulsory acquisition, some that would need to go back to the Parliament, in fact. I don't believe this project will stand or fall on what my views about compulsory acquisition are. This project will go forward if the company is capable of providing the finance for it, as I've said.
Do you think it was a mistake for the government to abandon the RPC process?
I'm here to talk about the future, not about the past. I'm going to be focused absolutely on the future, because I think that's what Tasmanians will want from me. They will want me to describe to them how Tasmania can be a better place and what I'm doing about getting it there. If I spend all my energies justifying or not decisions of the past, then I'm not going to get far.
When you talked about clever solutions and clever opportunities in forestry and existing industry, as well as new industries, I mean, it has been said that carbon offsets pose an opportunity in forestry. Do you think that should be part of the consideration when you're looking at whether or not further areas of wildlife should be looked at?
Well, as I said, I want to be climate change opportunists here, and renewable energies, trees in the ground, and a whole range of other things are factors that I want to get really good advice on to understand the intersection of those things with climate change and with our opportunity in it. I'll take one more question, and then I'm going to hand over to Lara to say a few things.
People have been calling you in the Labor Party, calling you the Dream Team, which you ever got up, and you obviously now have got up. You have actually broken the convention by both being from the South, which it seems to be issuing.
Jim Bacon and Paul Lennon for both from the South.
But you also are in control of two large portfolios, which control $3 billion of the state's $3.6 billion budget. So, I mean, you're going to have heavy workloads yourself. How do you think you can get around the country, get to understand the place, and also
do
Well, I think, as the Premier has said, they're both two very important portfolios that we both have. And education is fundamental for the future of our state, the future of our children, as is the Health and Human Services portfolio. Now, my particular portfolio, you'd be aware that we've got a number of reforms that are underway. And I see those reforms as being critical to particularly the kind part of what the Premier has said today. We must see improvements in the way we deliver disability services, in the way we deliver child and family services, in the way we deliver alcohol and drug services. All of these things are fundamental, as well as to see the further growth in our hospital reforms that we've been driving and other health reforms that we've been driving too. But these are portfolios that we've both held now for 2 years. We both are on top of our portfolios. We understand the issues within our portfolios. And I'm very confident that both of us in our respective roles will be able to continue to drive through the reforms that we've begun. Well, this is really about generational change, and you can see that here with the Premier and myself. And it's a generational change that we haven't seen since back in Michael Field's time when he came to government in 1989. And he led a reasonably youthful team at that time as well, with a number of the colleagues being in their 30s or early 40s. What we're seeing now is that next generation coming on and taking over in that sense. And in doing that, though, we are taking on a legacy of a very firm foundation that's been built for us by both Premier Jim Bacon and following with Premier Paul Lennon as well. And there is much that has been set on that agenda that we will pursue. Agenda 2008 has been a very important one in terms of building further on our social justice agenda, which is very much close to my heart as well. So we have a very unique opportunity here where we can pick up from where our colleagues have left off, and they've left off at a time of economic strength, at a time of social strength, at a time when we can now build onto that and take this next generation through.
Can you confirm the detail for us that you were both elected unopposed today?
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, if there's no more questions, then.
I am very honoured to be Tasmania's first Labor Deputy Premier, and I think that this is a day too that women should quite rightly be very proud of, that it is important that we see women in leadership roles, and to be such a woman is a great honour for me. I've actually always said to people, and I am true when I say this, that I am not an ambitious person. In fact, I'm very honoured that my colleagues have been pleased to support me today in this role, and I am really looking forward to working with Premier Bartlett and being a strong team that takes us forward here in Tasmania, because we do live in, I think, the best state in Australia, if not around the world, and we have so much to give. That it is in fact a great honour, but my support is fully behind Premier Bartlett, and as for any future moves, I don't know. I'm amazed that I've got here, so thank you.
You've got
quite
a bit of new team, but also you have some of the old legacies that are still part of the previous government in the forms of Mr Polly and Llewellyn and some of the older members of your cabinet. How do you expect to see that legislation before the next election?
I expect that both youth and experience, new energy and experience mixed together is the most potent force, and it'll be a potent force that will be in stark contrast to our opponents when it comes to March 2010. And I'll take one more question and then we'll call.
Is there anything behind your choice
to tie that? Yeah, well, someone's obviously worded you up because I, in fact, just after being sworn in, I rang Honey Bacon this afternoon to let her know that I'd been sworn in wearing a tie that she gave me, owned by Jim Bacon, after he passed away, and I'm proud to wear it. Thank you.
Thank you.